Well, let's pray. Our Father, we've really enjoyed, for most of us, many of us, we've been able to be here for the different chapters, and thank you for this Pilgrim's Progress that we can look at. Thank you for this great book that John Bunyan wrote long, long ago, and for how it's helpful for us understanding what your Bible declares in regards to this journey that we're on from here to heaven and the challenges and difficulties of it. And we just thank you now for this chapter and ask that you'd help us as we just make some comments, especially with our Bible in hand, to understand the things that John Bunyan, your servant, was trying to bring out. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I think of this chapter, every chapter I often have a key passage or verse that comes to mind. For me, this chapter, I reckon Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. That would be it. Because it's about this path. On the path, along the path, and then of course then they're off the path. And in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, Jesus says these words. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. See, Jesus taught us this. There is this narrow path and there is this broad path. Can you see that in the chapter? They're on the narrow path, but then at the end of it, they went off it, onto the broad path, the easy path. So we'll explore those things tonight. And really, I've got three sections. There's being on the path. On the path is not easy. What we're going to look at will be there's death, but there's destiny. Along the path, there's dangers and delights. And off the path is despair and doubt. All right, so that's how it is. Okay, now picking up on the previous chapter, Christian and faithful, they hadn't left the path, and I want to highlight this to you, they hadn't left the path, and their path took them straight through a really dangerous place called Vanity Fair. And Vanity Fair was like that place that had all the bells and whistles going on, this world that's so attractive, and but they stood their ground, and they didn't give in to the ways of the world. And as they did that, they stood out like a sore thumb. And particularly Faithful, he was really in trouble with the magistrate, with the townspeople. And as we saw in the beginning of this chapter, he was sentenced to death and was executed. Wow. Tell you what, it doesn't take long before you should realize that being a Christian is not being on a bed of roses. Whoever said that to you, they got it wrong. It's not. It's one of the most challenging lives to live, the Christian life. But as we know, the reward is glorious. Far better having challenges here on earth and not ending up in hell, of course. And so John Bunyan, a believer in Christ, he makes it clear in his story called Pilgrim's Progress that the Christian life is quite a challenging life. It's not a bed of roses. Some people still teach this and encourage this. You know, come to Jesus and all your problems will go away. Come to Jesus and you'll be healthy, wealthy and prosperous. That is not supported in the Bible at all. It's the very opposite. We are told in the Bible that things are going to get tough and we might even lose our life. I know in Australia that'd be very rare, but in other countries we should be aware that that happens. Let me just read to you some important verses on this. In Philippians chapter 1, 29 and 30, it says, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me." So the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, makes it clear that we are appointed to suffer on this side of heaven. I know we don't go, yay, that's great. Because suffering, when we go through suffering, it is challenging. But God has permitted it. And he has permitted it so that we might depend on him, we might grow in Christ, and that in that struggle we have, we might really shine the hope we have in Christ. There's a reason for it. In 1 Peter, the whole of 1 Peter is about encouraging Christians who are going through really difficult times. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13, we read, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation." That's a special verse, isn't it? Don't be surprised. You knew this was going to happen when you signed up to follow Jesus, but there's glory to come. So yeah, life is tough. Life can be tough. It's going to get tougher, so let's just say that, eh? We don't live in a society anymore that honours Christianity, so we're going to find ourselves being targeted more and more. We are the problem. You know, that's how it's going to come down. It's going to come down to that. So even though our societies were built on the Christian faith, even though there was a time when everyone who went to school, believe it or not, heard about Jesus, and they had religious instruction, and they actually even sang hymns in school, that's not the go now. Used to be, but not anymore. Yep. So I don't need to tell you that. You would know that from the news. You would know that as you look at things, the change in attitude towards Christians. Now, back to Faithful. Faithful, sadly, loses his life. And from one perspective, it looks terrible. It's horrible how cruel it was that he should be killed in the way he was killed, you know, being burnt. But from other perspective, it was a glorious death. And John Bunyan brings that out in the story, doesn't he? He was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. And that's right, even though we don't see a chariot of fire taking up some of our loved ones in Christ, we know where they've gone. It's pretty special. And Jesus makes that really clear. In John 11, 25 and 26, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if they die. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." What's Jesus saying? If you're in me, then you go straight on living in glory, because I'm the resurrection and the life. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." And these are great truths, aren't they? So even though we might die, even for the faith, we know where we're going. There's a really famous story in the book of Acts about a man who was martyred for the faith. And it's interesting what is written down there. And that was Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, 54 to 60, we read these words. "Now when they heard this," this group of religious people, "they were cut to the core, and they began gnashing their teeth at him," at Stephen. "But being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God." Well, he was permitted to see the glory of God. "And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold,'" this is Stephen speaking, "'Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning as he called upon the Lord, and he said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" And then Stephen was taken up to the Lord. And we have a little picture of what is happening, two sides to it. The terrible treatment to Stephen, but look what God's doing. Even allowed to have a vision of Christ. And he goes home to be with the Lord. That's beautiful. And when I think about that, that story mentions a man named Saul, Saul of Tarsus. We never know, if we are faithful to Christ, even in death, what God might do in using our witness to help other people come to love him. It doesn't say that Saul of Tarsus was converted by what Stephen went through, but I'm sure it was used by God. Yeah. And even we have other stories like that in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in prison and they're singing to God in the dungeon. And all the prisoners are listening and taking note. And then there's an earthquake and the Philippian jailer becomes a Christian. all these things God can do. And in our story tonight, in this chapter, that's what happens. One person takes notice of Christian and Faithful. And he also enlists to be a Christian, to be a pilgrim on the journey. And his name happens to be Hopeful. He's the one who joins a Christian on the journey. And it all happened because he took notice of those two guys. You know, it doesn't take much for people to realize these guys have got something. And Hopeful became a follower of Christ. Just a little aside, a Christian first companion was Faithful, and his new companion was Hopeful. Why do you think John Bunyan used these two names in that order? Well, my suggestion to you would be, when we're a young Christian, we need to learn to be faithful. Faithful. Why is that? Because we have a tendency of drifting off. We have a tendency of leaving it and going somewhere else. So learn to be faithful. So that means faithful in reading the Bible, faithful in praying, faithful in church attendance, faithful in keeping on, keeping on. And when you're an older Christian, I know for some of the older ones I know of, hopeful is a great thing because you've lived a fair few years, you're a bit worn out from the battle, and it's so good to have the hope of Christ full in your heart as you think about the things to come. And one day I'm going to get a new body, yeah, and all those things. Be hopeful. You know, lovely. So there's some emphasis there. Faithful when you're at the beginning, hopeful when you're at the end, and in the middle, don't mess around. Alright. Now we're going to look about along the path. So along the path, there's dangers and delights. And in that middle section that Craig read out, Bunyan refers to the Christian path as the King's Highway. Do you like that description? I don't know if you picked up on that. The King's Highway. But it's a narrow path. It's a difficult path. Yeah, but it's the King's Highway. This is the highway of Jesus. It leads straight to heaven. Wow, that's a good title, isn't it? So instead of saying it's the narrow path, we can call it the King's Highway. I'm on the King's Highway, heading to glory. That's right. And along the path, Christian and Hopeful met quite a number of people who surprised them. They found out that they were not true pilgrims. Did you pick up on that? There were people along the path who weren't true Christians, true pilgrims. And that might surprise us. You know what? Jesus spoke about this. And some very strong words are mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. When I read these words, let me just tell you, these words always have a little bit of a shake on my life because they're quite full on. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' But I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And that is a very challenging section where Jesus speaks there. And there can be many people that look like they're on the path, as Christian and Hopeful found, but they're not true pilgrims and Christians. Do you allow yourself to be challenged? I hope you do. You don't ever take for granted salvation. You should make sure. Jesus says here the two key things why he will say, "Depart from me," is because they didn't know Jesus and they don't follow Jesus. So that means we need to know Jesus personally. Just coming to church is cool, but it's not going to save you. You've got to personally know Jesus. And just doing your own thing, that doesn't look good. You're meant to be following Jesus. They are the signs that we are a true pilgrim. So Christian and Hopeful met a man on the way who was one of those false believers, and his name was Demas. And where did they find him? It's interesting, all the language is there in the story, on the plain of ease. Isn't that interesting? The plain of ease. When are you most vulnerable in going off track? When it's nice and easy. Well, that's the case in my life. What about you? Yeah, watch it. The plain of ease. Demas was found on the plain of ease. On the plain of ease, he'd gone off the path to seek worldly treasure, silver. It's during these times that we can be tempted and tested and drawn away. So that's when we have to be really careful. And John Bunyan used the name Demas for the man who had gone off the path to seek worldly treasure. And his father's name was Judas and his grandfather Gehazi. All right, now why did he pick those strange names? Well, they're all mentioned in the Bible. Demas is mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Paul says, Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. So he loved the world. So that's Demas. Gehazi is mentioned in 2 Kings 5. Oh, that's a fascinating story. That's the story where we read about Elisha healing a man called Naaman. He was the enemy. And he came down to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. And he brought all this stuff, you know, like clothes and money and all that. And Elijah just healed him by getting to wash in the Jordan River. And Gehazi wasn't too keen on that. So he went after Naaman went back home. Gehazi chased after him and said, "Oh, you know, Elijah, my master, he's changed his mind. He wants two sets of clothes and all this money." Gehazi got caught out, greedy. He got in trouble. He got the leprosy that Naaman had. Alright. And a Judas. Well, Judas is the Judas in the New Testament. Judas Iscariot. Do you remember that it says in the Bible that he pilfered the money purse. He even betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So you can see where his heart was. He was not a true disciple. And, so these three men are mentioned in the Bible. Now, hopeful seemed to be quite drawn to Demas. Did you notice that? What helped him stay on the path? A fellow believer named Christian. We need each other. You know, we need somebody to tell us, what are you doing? Wake up! Because sometimes we can just be so naive and we go down the wrong path. So you need to listen to each other and help each other. And as they left the plain of ease, Christian and Hopeful came to a delightful place where they drank from the river of the water of life. Isn't that good? The path that Christ has given us is not all trouble and dangerous. There are delights along the way. And when I think about that, one of my favourite psalms speaks of that. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we often think of that middle verse that says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." But have you ever thought about the previous, the two verses before it? The two verses before it say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it goes on to say these beautiful things. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." Man, that sounds like heaven on earth. And we have times like that. Beautiful times in our life that are so restoring and refreshing. But we also go through challenging times too. And in Pilgrim's Progress in this chapter, John Bunyan mentions the phrase, "the river of the water of life." And of course, that's because someone else had coined that phrase, and that's none other than the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 7, verse 37 onwards, we read, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.'" There it is, see? There's the phrase. And guess what? It goes on to say, "But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. It is the Spirit who is the river of the water of life." And it means he comes into our life and refreshes us and restores us and helps us. Alright, so now we're going to look at the last part of that chapter. Off the path. And when you're off the path, it's despair and doubt. Yep, so near the end of the chapter, Christian made a very bad decision. How did it happen? It was pretty easy, wasn't it? He's going along the narrow path and it was just hard. You know, it's rocky ground, he's getting sore feet. And he notices that there's another path right next to them that looks so easy. Didn't it? That's what it says. And it goes in the same direction. No worries. Why not go on the easy path? All right. So that's how he went off the track. looking for the easy way. And also, as he went along, what encouraged Christian and Hopeful to keep on going along that easy path? It's interesting, the character in the story is called Vain Confidence. She'll be right, mate. No worries. Just go with the flow. It'll all be good. Don't say that. Not when you're a Christian. You've got to make sure you listen to Jesus. Not just going with the flow. Not just thinking it'll be okay. So you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus and you've got to keep listening to Jesus. Vain confidence is going to lead you in a bad place. And as Christian and Hopeful travel along the parallel path, they thought that if the path proved to veer away, they could always turn back. But they were wrong. They were wrong. And there's some things to learn there. Do not go off path. It is dangerous. You might think you're strong enough to come back. You're wrong. You're weaker than you realize. God is gracious. He can bring you back. But you shouldn't be going off the path. It's very dangerous. And I can't help but think of Judas here. I'm going to read a little bit of Judas Iscariot. Matthew chapter 27, 3 to 5. Then when Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. Wow. I can sort of see that he's feeling sorry. He wants to correct what he did. But look what happened. He ended up hanging himself. It's a dangerous time to be off the path. He ended up, unfortunately, perishing. All right, and then we come to the last bit. The parallel path led them away from the true path onto the grounds of Doubting Castle, owned by... Who was that? Do a voice, come on. Giant Despair! Yeah, Giant Despair. And we'll look at that next week, but just a bit of a heads up. We have a whole chapter in Pilgrim's Progress devoted to times, seasons in a Christian's life when we have a huge battle. We have giant despair and we have doubt galore. And if you've been through that, it's a very difficult time. We will see how they got through it, but we'll wait till next week. So this is an important chapter because any of us can fall into that. One of the great heroes in the Bible is Elijah. Elijah, after a great victory on Mount Carmel, plummeted into despair and doubt. So it can happen to any of us. I know some great Christian leaders in the world have also struggled with despair, depression and doubt. And it's important that we acknowledge this and own it and help each other going through these sort of things. All right. So I'm going to close in prayer and we can have a bit of discussion, eh? Dear Father, thank you for this chapter that we could look at tonight. And in my mind, I can't help but think of the importance of keeping to the path. And I sure haven't been good at that at times, Lord. But thank you for this chapter that encourages us to keep on the path no matter how hard or how difficult it is. And thank you for this narrow path of Christ. Thank you that on this path we have blessings along the way. We have times of refreshment, times of beautiful times with you, and other times we're going to have challenge and trials. And Lord, I just pray for all of us that you'd keep us on the right path, knowing where it's heading and knowing who is with us to help us along the way, and also knowing that we have other believers who travel with us. I pray for all of us that we wouldn't be a false believer where we're not on the path. Also, I pray that you'd protect us from going onto the broad path, especially with a world that is around us that just wants to bring us onto that broad highway. And just ask that you'd minister to us and help us in whatever situation we're in. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.